Do you want to hear some things that will bless you? You know, like Brother Reynolds, we have a likeness in this. I've heard him here in the services talking to young people about going to Bible school. I heard him bring that up. You know, I'd like to just testify a few minutes to you about Bible school. I had a privilege of God that not everybody gets. You have to be called of God, but you have to also be called of God to this privilege. And I know a lot of folks would like to think they have this privilege, and a lot of folks would like to skip a few things and get around and think that somehow they can avoid some things maybe they wouldn't like. But when God called me to the ministry, I got a sign from God that night, and I don't know why, and didn't know what all this might lead to. But I was in some tent meetings, some of those kind like Brother Reynolds holds around here, you know. It was just an old-time Pentecostal evangelist who was full of fire, and the Holy Ghost was falling in every service. And I wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. I was in a denominational church, and you didn't hear such things. And when we got over there to those meetings, we never saw such things either. And I sat in the back, and there in the back of the auditorium, you know, I didn't dare to, in the back of the tent, I didn't dare to go any further front. You know what I mean? This was strange when I walked in there. But after that preacher preached, I got up the courage, because I went home from work that day hurting terrible right in here. I knew something was happening to me. And that night I went up there and that evangelist prayed for me. And it was gone. Never felt it again all these years. Well, we could say we were thirsty and dry, you know what I mean? Hey, we were fresh out of the sand. I mean, we were thirsty and dry. We needed something, and we knew that, and we had prayed and sought God carefully for that. My wife and I and some other couples that really wanted to just get a little more than what we were getting, and we knew we needed it. But this night, you know that Sister Dalian had thought I was going to the doctor that night, and I got filled with healed of that sickness that night. And the next night she said, "Hey, I want to go tomorrow night and you go with me." You know, she wanted to go along. And hey, we wound up there, and my mother went along, and my wife got filled with the Holy Ghost that night. And boy, I was filled with green-eyed envy when we went home. She couldn't stop speaking in tongues and praising the Lord for, it seemed like, for hours. She got so filled with the Spirit. The next night, you know, I had prayed all day, and I said that night, I want to get filled with the Holy Ghost. And in the song service, got filled with the Holy Ghost at the end of the song service. You know how sometimes somebody can be real wiry? You folks know Brother Keith Larson. You know that little wiry guy, don't you? Well, you should have saw him when he was about 20. He was winding up the crowd. He was just winding them up. And you know, we had never got to the point of lifting our hands up. In the church we went to, if you lifted your hands up in church, I mean, hey, you committed an unpardonable sin of some kind. And so we were trying to get up a little courage, enough to enter in, and all those Pentecostal people clapping their hands and praising the Lord and swinging and swaying and whatever. And this night I thought, you know, well, it was the third night we were there, and I thought, well, why don't I try that a little bit? My idea, and no wrath came down or nothing. And so it was that night when I lifted up my hands at the end of the song service. Now, I don't know if you know Irvin Miller. Did you ever meet Brother Miller? Hey, he was that evangelist. What a fireball he was. But then he's gone on to be with the Lord. Never forget him, though. Powerful ministry he had. But as I lifted up my hands, Brother Larson had wound down the song. Brother Miller had jumped up to take over the service, and he jumped up like he was really ready to roll. And he opened his mouth, and he began to prophesy, and I heard these words coming out of his mouth, "My son!" And I saw with my eyes, I was looking like I'm looking at you out there. I saw an arrow come out of that preacher's mouth. It was like you'd had one you'd put in a bow, you're going out here, you know? Had a very distinct color. It was as red could be. Came out of his mouth, came right across, and I had stuck my hands up, and it hit me right here. And I began to speak in tongues and to praise the Lord and the Holy Ghost, and I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I've never been the same since. I never could figure out, why did God do that? Why did he let the sign be made there? You know what I mean? Had no idea. Maybe I still don't. I don't know. But a lot of things begin to transpire in my life. And I'd like to just jump ahead here a little bit in this end. I'm not going to tell you all this testimony here. I want to get to this part. We got filled with the Holy Ghost. We were called of God in those meetings. And time went along. That the meetings was over, you know, for the summer. Boy, you couldn't keep us away from there for a night, you know, for a service. But one day, Brother Miller came to our house. Knowing this call of God was on us, and I think that down deep in his heart, he was saying to God, "God, don't let this one get away. Don't let this one get away, you know." A lot of young folks get touched of God. They feel a genuine call of God. And the devil seems to hook them and take them away. Or they get led away into the wrong things. But that day, Brother Miller prophesied over Sister Daly and I. And to me in particular there. And he told me exactly the course and the events that I would follow in going from where we were to get into the ministry and what it would take. And laid it right out for us. Was wonderful. Well, in the course now, this may seem counterproductive here for a minute. But don't worry about it. I'll surely get to the other end of this. And the Holy Ghost spoke and he said, "I'm not going to send you to a Bible school. I'm going to train you by my Spirit." And went on and related how he was going to do this and made real to us, you know, concerning where he was going to work at this. And so when we got done listening to that day, as Brother Miller prophesied, he said these words. This was the most, well, Brother Reynolds, you figure this out as I say it. And he gave us this prophecy to tell us how long this would take. He said it might take a day. It might take a week. It might take a month. It might take a year. And it might take longer. You know, when I heard that, I said, "My Lord, I don't understand this. Why would God talk that way to me?" Well, I had been in business. I had to be brought out of that. When God called me, I had to get out of that. And I got out of that. I came clean and to take up the call of God. When he called me, that was the first thing he said. Would I be willing to give up my business and take up the call of God on my life? Well, he got a yes from me real quick. It came out instantly. That's the way you ought to be ready tonight to say yes to God. It ought to be right in you. How easy just to drag your feet. So to get us from where we were that day, he spoke those words to where he wanted us to go. In getting prepared for the ministry. How long would it take us? It might be a day. I prayed about that many times. I considered that. I thought of that. How on earth what do I look at here? Until the Holy Ghost began to quicken me. It might take a day. Get out from where we were. Get where he wanted us to be. Where he could begin to prepare our hearts. We own the house. We had given up the business. Hey, there was things we could do. We could have listened to God and done it in a day. We could have walked away and we could have left that house right there and forgot all about it and all that was in it. We could have just got off the docks and went right on like Peter and them got off the fishing boat. And they went at the call of Jesus. But then it didn't go that way. So I had a lot of things, a lot of irons of fire, and I was led on then from day to day, obeyed God, and everything He told me to do, I did. I did just exactly what He had spoken. And so He moved us into a town to church. There was a church there. It was a small church. This particular church was one that Brother and Sister Miller had started out of a tent meeting. And I was down in a town there, you know, they were home, they lived there then in that town. Sister Dealey and I was there visiting them one day, and they all went out shopping. And I said, I'm not going out, I don't want, and I left my wife going with them. And while I was there praying, the Lord told me this. God said, and when God tells you something, brother, you ought to listen. If God said it's green, don't look for something yellow. And God said, in exactly 3 months, I'm going to set you in this church as a pastor. It's a little church, just a little baby church. May it 20 people. We're not prepared. We didn't feel prepared. In exactly 3 months to the day, that happened. But that was at Titusville, Pennsylvania. Now, I want to say something about this for the benefit of everybody here. But it was there that I had the grandest, the greatest experience of my whole life, you might say, as a Christian. And especially now as a Spirit-filled believer. And it was there that I had the privilege of getting out of my bed in the middle of the night, day after day, getting out of there, you know, long before daylight, getting out and going down that old church. I had one church down in the cow pasture and another and up over on the second floor in the garage. And there was this work, and there was this place. And I went there, and I went there mornings as faithful as I could go. And I prayed, and I sought God, and I prayed, and I sought God every morning with all my heart. And I prayed until I prayed through, till I knew that I had reached out that day and touched God. And then I got my Bible and I got behind that old pulpit was there. And this is like I stood day after day after day. And the Holy Ghost took me through the Scriptures and gave me the Scriptures and the things which I know and preach today that I received of Him in those times. That was a wonderful experience. And as I say, the Holy Ghost could take you, pick you up, and do this for some reason of His, not yours. So I look back and say, hey, this was a great experience. The presence of God would meet me at the door. Before you could put the key in the door and unlock it in the morning, the Holy Ghost was already on you. He was already working. And I went through this like it was like heaven. It was like heaven every day. There was a close presence of the Holy Ghost. And He taught me. And He spoke to me many things about keeping those things which He taught me. Don't change them. Hey, you know, truth never changes. If truth changes, it's not truth anymore. Now it's a lie because somebody changed it. You can't change truth. And if God teaches you the truth, then you've got something solid. Now, then we could jump over a long period of time. And we were called to come up to New England, and we moved into Boston. And when we finally moved down into the inner city, and God gave me those two big buildings there in Mass Avenue. And it was down there, one time in a prayer meeting. Some of the old folks that were originally there as part of an old church, and Sister Daly and I don't remember who else. We gathered together there one night for a prayer meeting. And it was that night that God spoke about starting a Bible school. We ran a Bible school for years. Somebody said, how could a man who's trained up by the Spirit now start a Bible school? Well, I wasn't starting one because I needed to go to one. I was obeying God because no doubt God had something in mind. And this is the way sometimes God works. You know, there's the old ways. You know, there's the old school. And after a while, you know, things run its course, generally about 40 years. And it's like there's a need of a new move. The old one's gotten corrupted. It's drug in so many things that it wasn't there to start with. And you know what I mean? And God will raise up somebody. So God raises up somebody to teach others. Now you see, God is not raising everybody up and sending them then off someplace in a manner and a way as He did me. And if you're waiting for that, brother and sister, you'd sit there and rot. You're not going to find it. God's raised up a Bible school. And He's raised up one here. Listen, this is a good Bible school. This Bible school has a good reputation. Wherever I hear of people who've been here, I don't hear any bad report about anybody. Hey, it's a good Bible school. They teach the Bible. Hey, here they are now. And they're wanting to encourage young people to come. Hey, get down to business. Now, I don't suggest anybody call themselves, but if you want to give your life to a worthy cause, could you find something better? You know, we follow the progress. We don't know it until somebody sometimes whacks us on the side of the head and says, hey, let me get through Marblehead here and see if I can cause you to think and understand. We don't understand. We're a little hard-headed. As a good Italian pastor that I knew for years told me, he said he told me how to explain that in Italian. And he said you just say, a testa dura, a hard head. Now, here we are, and it gets time for Bible school. And you're hard-headed. Maybe you don't think you need it. God's going to give you this great thing all on your own. In the desert, they call it a mirage. At the church, I don't know what they call that. It shouldn't call it a glory cloud. It just arose. And sometimes young folks don't understand. God could use your life, but you need help. Did you hear me? You need help. And I saw all these nice teachers lined up here. My, boy, that doesn't look bad at all. I was listening to the sister there. Giving a prayer there about all of this, and hey, thank God. Boy, she was excited there, you know. Well, that would be good in any classroom. Somebody who prays and the glory falls, you know, or something, you know. But hey, down inside, there may be some of you here. You need to get down to business. Are you praying in earnest, in sincerity, and asking, God, what is your will for my life? You know, Bible school would be a big decision in anybody's life. It takes time. Hey, it can take, you run a 3 years yet, Jim? Take 3 years of schooling? And that's not too much. Believe me, that's not too much. Now, I'm testifying to you tonight this. I've always preached and taught this over all the years to people in church who have to do what everyday life brings to us. We have to make many decisions. And I've always taught that a good decision is made on the basis of good information. But every decision ought to start somewheres. And the best place to start any decision is an experience where you get down on your face like Jesus did. And you begin to pray, and you begin to cry out, and you begin to say, God, what should I do with my life? What is your will for my life? What is God's will? Now, there's a will, and this will now has to become of utmost importance to you. If God is not willing or calling you, well, then I'm not encouraging you. But how do you know? And I don't think that you should take the matter lightly, what you heard last night or tonight either. That some of you, no doubt, need to get on your face and make a decision not based on your desire to or not to. making a real consecration of your heart and life, and get down and lay it down there and say, Lord, not my will be done, but thine. Lord, what should I do about this request of this pastor, this leader of a Bible school whose presence you're in here? You know what I mean? And what are you going to do with your life? And you know what he's saying? He'd like to help you with your life. And there's all these teachers who are saying, we would help you with your life. Hey, that's something you need. Get over the mirage that somehow you're that exception. God's got a dream world for you somewhere, and you're going to rise up on the clouds and fly. Get off of that. Get down to reality. What's going to happen to your life? The life that's committed to Jesus will stay with Jesus. The man who's committed to the will of God and then hears from God is a man now who's going to find out there's a real call, and I've got to devote myself and follow and take up my cross and follow him. So here's an opportunity. Brother Reynolds, I was up here one time. You can probably remember. It wasn't in here. It was over in the back side of the building, over where the old building was, church. You know what I mean? It was that long ago. You remember? Maybe you remember this. There was a young man, and he came to Bible school. He'd gone through it. God had surely, you know, spoken to his heart after he got out of Bible school. A while he worked with us around there. And one day the Lord spoke to me to tell him he was going to send him out. And where God would send him, God told me. And he told me to tell him to pray, and he would reveal to him. You know, if you can't hear from God, you shouldn't go anywhere. You know what I mean? You'll get lost in the dust somewhere. You know what I mean? Where are you going to get any direction? And here's a young man. He was called. He'd been to Bible school. He'd got, you know, brought on up, and he went out in the field. And guess what happened? He spent a good long time there, working hard, trying to do all that God had spoken to him. But go back to that day when I told him. You know, I said, Joseph, if you'll pray, if you'll seek God with all your heart, God will show you where he's going to send you, where he wants you to go out now. Now that he's worked in your life here to prepare you. You know, you can't forget this time. It was in 1978. Remember the blizzard? We sure got out of Boston when you woke up in the morning and the street out there wasn't a parking meter left. They were all buried. You couldn't see one, you know? It was that week. We were snowed in. The state wouldn't allow you to do anything. You know what I mean? Stay home. Couldn't even, you know what I mean? They didn't want you to hold church. He couldn't do anything. The whole week was shut down. That was the week God had him shut down. He got in his prayer closet, and he prayed all that week. Now, I had said to Joel, I have this little paper here. I'm going to fold it up, and I'm going to put it right in my wallet. And on this paper, I've written down what God told me he would show you. And when God shows you, you come back to me, and I'll take this paper out, and if God has showed you where to go, I'll show you that right there it is on the paper, so you'll know that God sent you there. Confirm it. Well, it sounded real to him, you know what I mean? But he prayed all that week, and he sought God, and come down the end of the week, you know, and the snowstorm had kind of broken up, but still the road was impassable. And he was excited because God spoke to him. Now, he believed that. God ever speak to you? Sometimes you need to prove it. Can you prove it? God really talks to me. Yeah, I know some folks, they get these visits, and boy, God tells them they got a good, you know, bargain over to the mall, they ought to go over shopping, and, you know, I mean, God really talks to them, you know what I mean? heaven's business is, you know, finding new petticoats for women or what. You know what I mean? That don't sound like God's business, you know. Does it really? God's business is serious. Your life is God's business as a believer. What are you going to do with your life? And test it out. If God has a call, won't He make that real? He sure will. I got a telephone call from Brother Joe. And he said, Brother Daly, I really believe that God showed me where He wants us to go and to move to. I said, good. Why don't you, plop through the snow and come over? So Joe and his wife came to our place on Harcourt Street, down by the Prudential Center. And he came that morning. Here's a man now. He's out of Bible school. Yes. He's kind of, work there to prove himself. He's pretty sincere in his ways. And now, is he going to hear from God? Or did he hear from God? And is he ready to just kind of say, hey, maybe God is going to make a way for me, open a door for me? Sometimes we get to think maybe we don't need any help. You understand that, don't you, Brother Reynolds? Some people don't think they need any help. They don't think they need any. Do you hold that mind and that opinion? You don't think you need any help? Well, this was a test. This was the greatest spiritual challenge, I suppose, maybe in one sense, to their hearts. So him and his wife, Elma, came, and we went into the classroom. And I sat behind a desk, and they both sat in front. Now, I wasn't having any mercy on them. I wanted them to do what they were coming over to tell me. So I said, Joe, you've got something to tell me or share with me here? Well, he said, yes. I said, did God speak to you at all where He wanted you to go? And he said, I believe He did. Seems sincere. And I just kind of maybe put a little pressure on him by the way I talked. I wasn't eager to tell them. I wanted them to officially do this. If God really talked to them, I was really interested in hearing what God said to them. And if God talked to them, I'm going to hear what God said to them. Because I already know what God's going to say to them. And so, after 10 or 15 minutes of sitting there and kind of talking, I said, Joe, where did God tell you to go? He said, Brother Daly, I believe that God told me that I should go to Omaha, Nebraska. Well, I mean, right out of his mouth, he's naming a city and a place. Did he hear from God? Hey, young fellas, you're going to hear from God somewhere, aren't you? Hey, young people, we got to hear from God. So I still wasn't rushing to tell him. I just was wanting to feel the effects, you know. Hey, if God talks to you, maybe sometime it will put you under a little pressure. Because God might tell you to do something sometime that you wouldn't think He would ever tell you to do. But we better be prepared to know it's God if we start stepping out. So, finally, I just reached in my wallet and I pulled this little paper out. I didn't give it to Joe, I gave it to Alma. I said, you see a name on there, Alma? She said, yes. And I said, would you tell Joe the name on this paper? Well, the name on the paper was Omaha, Nebraska. Now, did God talk to him? Did he hear from God? Oh my. Well, he hit the nail right on the head. So, I'd encourage anybody. Hey, we do need some help. If you want a fruitful, productive life, you've got to start somewhere. And if you don't have got a mind, you know, to really seriously give your life to the Lord and work for God, you'd surely want God's direction, and God could give it to you. Is there anything wrong with a good Bible school to go to? So I said, I don't want to do that. I'm not good with a pencil. I'm not this. Well, I don't feel it. Without a surrender, make a decision on your knees. Not your will be done, but God's will be done. If God wants you to do that, you ought to be willing to take that up. Any one of us should be willing, shouldn't we? Taking that up is a serious business. You know, this was a part that I told back there, that I told you about years ago. He'd gone out there. He put his heart into it, going out there. Had a lot of troubles. They drove into town. Had a little old Volkswagen. He stopped, you know, on the street. And there was a drunk over across the street, a man drunk. And he lifted up his voice. He said, "Hey, preacher, I'm going to kill you." Oh, my land, here's a drunken bum. The devil speaking through him to try to scare him off. He gets in the city limits. You know, he had still a place. He needed something. Now, he came home to the church. And I got him up to speak, you know. I think the young people that we bring up are worthy to get up and speak or speak for the Lord. So he got up and he ministered a while, and finally he just kind of broke down and threw his hands kind of out and down, and he said, "Brother Daly, I need help." Now he's where God wants him. He's in the city. He's trying to do what God wanted him there. He's a young preacher. Get a pioneer a church, you know, get into whatever. But he had a real struggle. You see, he knew what he needed. He called it help. He called it help. Well, who is he asking to help him? Well, he's in the church, and surely I'm sitting right there, and so is a lot of other people. I need help. He just couldn't get it all together. You know what I mean? He was working on it. He was putting his heart into it. Well, I felt, you know, an obligation. Hey, you got to help him. So there's no need of me teaching somebody, spending all that time and effort, and then somehow there's no framework to help him in. So I said, well, let me do something. So I went to Omaha. And I went down the street looking around there, and I found a broker. And I asked him, "Hey, do you you don't have any church on your listing, do you? Any church buildings anywhere or anything?" He said, "Yeah, I just got one the other day." Well, I said, "Good, I'm looking for one. Take me and show it to me." So he took us over there, Joe with me, and we looked at the building. Hey, nice little church. Might probably hold 125, 30 people. Well, they want to sell it, and they want to get it off their hands. And, well, I said, I'll buy it. So we bought the building. They still use it today. You know, there's help needed. There's organization needed. And do you think you can go anywhere without the church? You know, the church in the Bible, the church at Antioch sent Paul and Barnabas out into the world in that missionary call. Wasn't that beautiful? Hey, they laid hands on them, and they fasted, and they prayed, and the power of the Holy Ghost came. You know what I mean? Well, there they are, sent out of the Lord. In Romans chapter 10, Paul talks about how can you go except, you know what I mean, to preach, except you're called. And, well, how can you go and except you're sent? And who's to send us? Well, that's the work of a church. That's the work of an organization. That's the things that we would like to see. But in his case, well, that was something that was needed. How are you going to get anything, get anywhere it's gone without some help? Now, you were here last night. My daughter, Judy, and her husband, John, sat over here with Sister Daly. Do you remember seeing them? Now, there was another girl. That was Sister Esther from our church at home. Now, there's Brother John. He came and went to Bible school. My wife sent a message to him via a relative, you know. We knew who John was, you know, in that sense. We had met him one time. And my, he just got that message from Sister Daly. He was praying and seeking God, wondering what to do with his life. And Sister Daly said, tell him to come down and go to Bible school. Well, he prayed and God quickened that to his heart and he came down and he went to Bible school. And you know, all those young folks have been in the ministry now for how many years, Sister Daly? Many years here already. My daughter grew up in this. John got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And my, how God's used his life. Now, before we went up there, we were down at church down in Boston. Oh, I was so pleased in my heart. Boy, John got fired up. Boy, did he get fired up, and did he ever preach? Oh, well, I was so glad to see that fire catch a hold of him there, because I thought, surely, here's a fire bigger than he's ever felt before. You know, they needed help too. God told me about doing a work in Wichita, Kansas. God told me he'd give us a revival there. God told me there were people in that area that had earnestly prayed and sought God and carefully prayed for a revival, which hadn't come. God told me he wanted to send a revival to that city. But I wanted to just get around now and I'm going to put somebody down. And my daughter, she heard me talking about that. And she came and she said, Dad, I believe God wants John and I to go down there. Well, I believed it too. And they went down there and we went down and helped them. Got another church started in a house. Oh my, but it wasn't very long. You needed a building. How are you going to get these things? So they're working still out of the house and my daughter's praying and seeking God and God showed her a vision. In the vision she saw a building. Hey, this building had been a church. She saw that in a vision. Then they found it. And there it was. Well, my, hey, they needed help. So I went down to give them some more help. I looked at the building and began to deal with the people that had, you know, the building. And we bought that building, too, for the church. You know, there was a need. Brother Reynolds, I don't think you're made of money that you're going to buy a building for every person who goes to Bible school. And I hope they sure don't get that kind of an idea. But God can do it. So we look at those things and say, and I said all this to say to somebody tonight, what are you going to do with your life? Is it yours to do with? I read you a scripture last night. Your life is not your own. You're bought with a price. What was that price? The blood of the Son of God who suffered and died for you. Your life has been redeemed unto Him. It's His. What are you going to do with it? You better ask Him. So I just leave this with you tonight. You better pray. I know some people who prayed and God told them what to do. And shouldn't we get down and are we going to make decisions and not get on our faces and get down there and take a look at Jesus when he was down there and he was crying out to God as the book of Hebrews declares to us with bitter tears, anguish of his heart as he would take this burden of the whole world upon himself and take to bear the sin and guilt of all this world upon him. Not my will be done, but thine. Huh? Hey, you got to get there. Now you're going to make a decision about your life. You're either going to make a decision to do something for God, or you may make a decision that will take you out the door, and you lose ground, and you may stumble around a long time and not find your way. You may have to bounce in and out and bump your head a few times around. You know, with some of the things you're trying to get back to, because you don't take to make a decision what you're going to do with your life. Our life ought to be given. It ought to be given. Put your life in the hands of Jesus. Put your life there. Ask Him. Don't ask yourself. Don't go say, I want to think about this. Well, what are you going to think? I mean, you're you, and you're just going to think what you want to think. Ask Him. Your life is His. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, you should what? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is the Lord's. Can we do that tonight? Oh, boy. I'm glad I don't know any of you. You know what I mean? To know. I saw all these young men here. They all stand up here shouting and singing, talking about this and talking about that. That was good to see all that many young men at one altar call. You know what I mean? Here. Hey, where did all you fellas come from? Got any friends? Why don't you bring them over, too? What are you going to do with your lives? That's it. So you're talking about God delivering you from drugs, setting you free. You look at your life, something real happened to you. Boy, you better make a decision. Not you make the decision. It's not yours to make. Whether you're called or you're not called, what you're going to do with your life, it's His decision. You're not your own. At the altar of prayer where you lay down your life and you cry out for the will of God for your life, there, it's not my will be done, but thine. Lord, show me your will here. Now, I hope maybe my testimony encouraged you, so you're all going to go out and God's going to give you this great time. You're all going to be trained up by the Holy Ghost. Hey, you're going to have a nightmare if you try this on your own. It's got to take the call of God. Some men are called this way, and, well, I look to say, He called me that way, and He trained me that way, and He prepared me to prepare others. And a lot of others were prepared with the same teaching. That's what a Bible school is. Got to have something real to start with. So you got real people, real preachers, people who love God, who've been into it, and now teaching others. One of the greatest ministries. So let's consider that tonight. At the altar call tonight, I think that that's something that maybe some of you folks, and it doesn't always have to be young men, does it? But anybody who's going to do something, you got to make a decision? No. You got to make a decision to go to the altar. The decision will be made for you. Not your will, but God's. That's where it's got to come from. Not your will. Well, I love the Lord tonight. I think He's wonderful, don't you? So it's good to watch young people. You work and you labor with them. And your work and labor is not in vain. I thank God for all those people that have been trained up that we have used over the years too. And tonight I'm thankful that hey, this is something that you have here. What would you do without that help? What would you do? You got it. Thank God. And then there's a great work to do. You know, in our looking at these things, well, let's look soundly. If we could only see tonight, the choice is really the Lord's, and you've got to seek Him. What is His purpose here for you? I'd like to see Brother Reynolds have one of the nicest years of Bible school that he ever had here. Wouldn't that be nice? I'd like to see a nice class of young people who'd realize and take that dedication to God serious enough to get in there from day one and put their whole life into it and be trained up to serve God. Boy, what that'll do in this last day. What that would do. Hey, just 10 men would go a long ways, wouldn't it? Just 10 on fire preachers who are well, know what they're talking about. So I guess maybe I've said enough about that.